Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. Just a show. We're just two humble boy folk. I don't know why I said that.
Two humble boy servants
just out in the western part of Trump Country, Kentucky. We just
you getting worried?
We just mosey, dude. It's set. It's fine. We just mosey on into this garage and talking to some microphones about old games we used to play, love as we once had,
old games that we just played yesterday,
or played today, or just played a few hours ago. Oh, the glories of the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Trust week, play old games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. This week, because Dave, you had brought up just in a moment of brilliance, you found
cat games. We talked about cat games.
So you talked about we needed to do the week of Garfield for the NES.
Yes, the week of Garfield.
So then I proposed we do
a worse game than that.
Yeah. it was something else first, and then I was like, oh, how about Eek the Cat for the Super Nintendo.
Eek the Cat.
I saw that on that list. That's a thing.
Yeah. And I got really excited because I was like, oh, man, that's a thing I haven't thought of in 11 years. Yep. Yes, let's do that.
So today we are doing Eek the Cat for the Super Nintendo.
Man, whoo. All right.
We got a lot of shit to say about Eek the Cat.
Not really.
That you've never heard anybody say. I have so much to say about Eek the Cat.
Except for maybe the creator of Eek the Cat.
Even that guy was like, to quote Jacob, I think I've seen Jacob say this once, calm your tits. So if he hasn't said that, sorry, Jacob, but whenever I hear that, I think about you. I don't know if you said it or you just have raging tits. I don't know.
That's how the pitch to Fox started for Eek the Cat. You have my attention. Now tell me about your purple cat cartoon.
So let's see. Before we get to that, I'm your beard host, Tyler. And I've got a few different things to present. Of course, the liquor, the different drinks, one different one. So I've got this week.
So we're keeping that up.
Or today. Yep. Until I get through all 12.
Do I need to start bringing alcohol? Because I'm worried that we're going to get to a point where it's like, we can't do it today because I do not have gin.
That's exactly what I don't have. I need gin. Gin for a few of them, but I think I've got most of them.
Okay. I need gin. That's a tattoo. That's my lower back tattoo. I need gin.
One time when I was in Murray, I had taken an Ambien, and I was just tripping hard. And earlier in that day, I'd read something about gin. So I was just ambient out as all fuck and insisted I had to have a Greyhound,
okay,
which is gin and grapefruit juice.
Okay.
I demanded one of
them. Someone bought you a litter of Greyhound puppies. They misunderstood. And now you're burdened.
I ate all of them. Just an ambient haze, I ate 12 Greyhound puppies.
You gained all their speed and ran a race.
And I drank that Greyhound. And then that was the night I ate like the entire deluxe box of fiber bars and had the worst day ever the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Care to elaborate or we're going to be polite?
12 fiber bars.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Not good.
Like 1,300 calories of fiber just all at once.
Yeah.
When you're Ambien and have liquor. Oh, I was going to the bathroom I left class every 20 minutes to go to the bathroom.
So you were making it to the bathroom.
That's good. I barely made that bike ride from John's house to Murray State.
How long was that ride?
1 mile.
Oh, boy.
1 mile on an old-ass bike I bought from Walmart for $80. It lasted me two semesters.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope that was the brand. Old ass bike. It sounds like a Walmart brand bike.
Well, today I have, where'd the actual mixer go?
I set the mixer next to the champagne. It's right behind your laptop there.
So today I have the Peach Bellini.
Peach Bellini?
Peach Bellini. Whenever I see Bellini, I always think of Kids in the Hall. I think that was the old, like the old Italian man in a towel, Bellini.
Bringing back memories.
But here, so Bellini required, Italy. It required champagne, which I have champagne from the cruise we went on for Ryan's wedding years ago.
How many years ago?
Oh, man. How long? 3 years? 4 years? Maybe. Okay. I won it from, like, we won a quiz, and we got a bottle of champagne. So it's just the best Carnival has to offer.
Does champagne go bad? Was that on the quiz?
Yeah, I guess it just depends on how quickly it loses its carbonation. It's probably okay.
There's no exact science to how much of that mixer goes in? No.
I'm just going
to
give you half and give me half.
All right. I love that on the bottle it says Italy, but then it also says made in China.
So, I mean, we're just going quality all around.
Oh, shit. We're going to be drinking a lot.
Well.
And I'm looking over at your lineup of sleep meds.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun night for me. So this is Duc de Valmer Brut Champagne. Brut, I'm okay with. No, Brut, I don't like. Brut, all right, so.
That's a cologne.
That's probably the base for this. Because champagne is different in that dry champagne is sweeter.
Okay.
Normally when you think dry, you think not sweet. It's reverse for champagne. So it goes like demi-sec is the sweetest, extra dry, dry. And then Americans insisted on having less sugary champagne. So the French called it Brut and then extra Brut because of stupid Americans.
So this was made in America? Or was this made on the high seas of the Carnival cruise ship?
They bottled on site. It does not say.
Okay.
Probably for good reason.
Also China.
produced in France.
Okay. And the Champagne region?
I mean, to be called champagne, it has to be.
Right. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yep. Watch the laptop.
Carbonation's fine. I almost hit the surge protector down at my feet.
The one where we both die because we're wearing monitors around our heads. Studio monitors, not computer monitors. I have to clarify, otherwise I'll hear how stupid I am in chat tomorrow.
All right, so Ryan.
This is a lot. This is a fucking lot.
Don't drink it all. I just followed the instructions on the box.
Okay.
So
it just said the instructions implicitly say, pour half of this into a red plastic Solo cup.
We know how you do. We here at Duc de Valmer know how you do. So yeah, so just like
swish
to top
around.
Off the glass with. Yeah, everybody swish it. Swish it.
Swish it.
Because actually, you're not supposed to, because you'll swirl wine and things like that. You're not supposed to do it with champagne.
Oh, okay.
Because that breaks the bubbles, lessens the carbonation. So.
Okay.
But with this champagne, I don't think it matters.
It was carbonated.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. Peach Bellini. No, I don't like that at all.
It has, I'm sure it's the champagne, but my first taste was like, cigarette ash. Oh, then there's some peach, and then there's some champagne.
I can't even taste the peach.
Because there was like this weird,
It kind of smells like grandma's medicine.
Yeah, this is.
This is what I would give this a rating of grandma's medicine.
Oh, that is not good.
No, it's not.
I doubt it's the Bellini mix. It's gotta be the old cheap champagne.
Probably be better with a dry champagne.
I agree. Yeah. I completely agree.
So we're gonna make mimosas next.
Most is not on there, I guess.
Because it's just orange juice.
I mean,
right?
I could go get orange juice in the fridge. We can combine the shitty champagne and have some shitty mimosas.
Well, that's the only way.
Shitty midnight mimosas with Tadpog.
That's our next podcast with Nicole. Shitty midnight mimosas, where we drink mimosas and tell ghost
Cross-stitch.
Stories.
Yeah. Oh, and then the other one, Cockmaster Shake did bring me a.
Is it a Ninja Turtles Laffy Taffy? Oh,
Ninja Turtles. He brought me last year. He brought wasabi Kit Kats.
Yeah. You've got the box on your desk back there.
This year he brought green tea Kit Kats. So then I have this for each of us to try.
Oh, sweet. Thanks for sharing. The wasabi Kit Kats were really good.
They were, yeah, they were strange, but they were good. They weren't, you got this kind of wasabi taste at the end, but it wasn't particularly like hot. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not. You know?
It tastes.
It's not bad.
I feel like it's a white chocolate base. White chocolate with green tea.
It's a weird mix for me.
I like it more than wasabi. And the other thing I had to bring.
Yeah? You bring in a lot. You're going to put my intro to shame.
Dave, I could stop here if you want. I can save this.
No. Let it flow through you.
How would you describe yourself?
How big are you?
Like, I mean, I feel like I know how big you are. Like, how girthy are you?
Yeah,
around.
Like, compared to a Coke can.
Okay, if you want to talk about something, I got to grab some water to get all this green tea and Bellini and shit out of my mouth.
I'll give the weather report. It's pretty cold right now. I had to turn all the heat off in here. Eek the cat, huh? Eek the cat. Welcome back, Tyler.
Much professional.
I did good.
You did. Yeah. You kept us right on track.
I wish you'd have been gone for like 20 minutes.
I opened the water, stood over there, and just drank the whole thing.
You have four bottles of water. Eek the cat. He's purple.
Two shades of purple, really. You think you're good at flirting?
No.
So recalled like Nikki approached you, right? Like you didn't like flirt with her and then like lure her in. She was like, I'll take that one.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's how that worked. And I mean, I guess I flirted with her, but like, it was after I knew that she was interested.
Yeah.
It was never, I don't do well with it.
Yeah. I'm also do not think I'm good at flirting.
Really? That surprises me.
Well, my flirting usually comes across as like, let's just be best friends. It's fine.
Oh.
But also, I guess I'm probably a better flirt now because like, I'm married. I don't care. Like,
I cared too much back then. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is easier when you're married, I think.
So, because I was listening to the We Know Nothing podcast earlier, and Sam Morril was talking about flirting and like aggressively being hit on. And I was just like,
is that a boy or a girl, Sam?
Sam is a boy.
Okay.
But he meant being aggressively hit on more by other men.
Oh, okay.
Because I think
that happen to him a lot?
Only because he is more open than all the other guests, but he's talking about it happens fairly frequently.
Is he gay?
No.
I've been hit on by a lot of men.
I've been hit on by two men specifically.
Yeah.
And because we're talking about, like, I heard that and I talk about flirting. And just like, because I know how, like, I've seen, like, at least in movies or at least like friends I have, the way like girls can flirt with men to get things that they want. And the men just like will fall all over it. Like, it does not work the other way around.
That's movie logic.
Yeah. But I've seen like Meg flirt. Other people like girls are much better. The female to male dynamic of flirting to like, girl might be flirting for fun,
yeah,
but not be interested. Man is always interested. It's, you know, that dynamic is totally different.
Do you think it might just be the men you know? Is it like,
maybe?
Is it the sample size?
I don't know all men. So.
Or maybe it's just the women you know.
That's also true. Yeah. But I just feel like going in reverse, there's no way like I can, like if I wanted to switch seats on an airplane or anything like that, there's no way like I can flirt with a woman and get that done. Can't do it.
I don't think that's the most efficient way of doing it, honestly. I think I'd be like, ma'am, can I please sit there?
Well, you go my dad's route and do that, then when they say no, want to fight them.
Oh, yeah, that's the next step.
He nearly got kicked off the plane on the way back from Las Vegas for doing that. So he just started to sit there and every 5 or 6 minutes, just call the person a huge asshole. But the only time that flirting like that has ever worked for me has never been from me to female, but it has worked me to like men that have hit on me before. So like the man-to-man dynamic does work.
Yeah.
Because I was remembering.
Please elaborate.
Because I've gone that route twice.
Once was at Wendy's.
Both of these.
With the bacon, sir.
What size frosty do you want? What size frosty do you think I should have? How many nuggets do you want? However many you can fit in that box, man. Why don't you just impress me? but That could be a good skit.
We just wrote something.
Yeah, we did. But because I did theater in college, and both times I've ever had to flirt to get something that I wanted were both involving stage managers. Or no, one was involving a stage manager. The other one was a stupid game. But one, the first stage manager was that I'd heard he'd had a crush on me. Of course, they don't really aggressively hit on me because they knew that's not going to get them anywhere. But that I'd heard through the grapevine. Oh, no, they have a crush on you, but blah, blah, blah. So, but I think theater is, rehearsal schedules are super tight. Like, you can miss one. Like, you'll have schedule or rehearsal every day, every night, weeks and weeks on end to get the show down. You might be able to miss one time you're supposed to be scheduled there, and you better have a good excuse. If you miss two, you're fired.
Oh, really?
Like, that's just...
You're out.
You're just gone.
So you're easily replaced?
Jacob was... Yeah, pretty much. You're pretty much always easily replaced. There's somebody chomping at the bit for your part, whatever it is. Because, like, I know Jacob, I think he was late or something like that, or had to miss for Oklahoma and got fired. So it's just, no matter how good you are, I mean... If you fuck with like a schedule, it's we'll find someone that can do it.
Wow.
So
I think that's kind of badass.
That they're so strict about it?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Because I kind of figured, just be like, yeah, whatever, just come in, do your thing. Mm-mm. I like that. I like that it's more like Iron Chef or something.
Because usually no one has to be there every single day unless like you're the lead and you're in every scene. Usually mm-hmm. they'll break it up into like, you don't have to be in here when rehearsing the scenes that you're in.
Okay, and I get it. I mean, right? You're wasting
toward the end,
time
you're there every single day.
Right, they're waiting on you and stuff like that.
Yeah. So there was at one point, like I'd already basically missed one rehearsal because I had to do something else. And then I needed to miss another one to do something.
Yeah.
So... We were at a party the day before we had rehearsal the next day, and it was something out of like a weird movie because like the stage manager was sitting there, and I just went over and like I sat in his lap and I was talking to him, and I was like, I just don't think I can make it tomorrow. And he's like, okay, well, no, I'll say there was a scheduling mix up. I'll say something happened. It's fine. I was like, oh, cool. Thank you. Then I had to go the next day. I was fine. And
so you just sat in his lap like a kid in Santa, or okay?
Yeah, no, not like Santa. Like I did like a drape thing. Like I put my legs up over the arm of the recliner, not recliner, but like single seat he was in, and just like
lean back,
like my elbows on one arm and my legs up on the other.
So so straddled facing him.
straddled facing him, an inch from his face. I need to be off tomorrow. How can you get me off tomorrow? Well, then that was fine. And then the first time I ever did it, though, was really weird. It was a weird night because I think it was like New Year's Eve and everybody had been drinking. And I've referred to him before as Alistair. So Alistair was visiting mine and Jacob's first apartment. And like everybody was over there. And like it had basically just devolved into just like mostly guys. And one of the guys there was gay. And he who shall not be named on this podcast, don't know where he lands either way, but he gets this thing going with the other guy about who is the
Alistair?
Hottest guy. No,
the gay
Alistair
guy.
With the gay guy.
We'll call him Greg. Gay Greg.
Gay Greg. About who the hottest guy here is. And then, so then it becomes like, everyone's been drinking, so it becomes this weird pride contest about who is the hottest guy here in this guy's opinion. So it eventually...
This is
like,
Gay Greg's dream. It has to be. It fucking has to be. Because if I were at a party just full of women and like one of them came over and was like, who here do you think could suck your dick the best?
And eventually it got down to like me and Alistair. And this was when I was like, I was coming off the leanest I've ever been. I was like a svelte 145.
That's
skinniest I've ever been.
That's fucking lean, man.
Like I could wear the same pajama pants as Leva. Like I'd made that mistake in
mornings.
Same
blue pajama pants.
Same blue pants. And like it came down to me and Alistair. And so basically he was like, I can't decide like this. Like, at least like pose for me.
Like, I am gonna need to see your dicks.
So we pose. He's like, ugh.
What was the pose? What pose did you do?
I think it was like just like at first it was like all machismo, like Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of like muscular pose.
Yeah.
He's like, no, your shirts are in the way. So So neither me nor Alistair want to lose this at this point.
Yeah.
So we take off our shirts and we're posing. And I'm trying to like be flirtatious and talk to him, like, because I want to win. I'm going to beat Alistair. Alistair always thinks he's the best looking guy in the room. So, okay, no. In this case, it did not work. And he declared Alistair to be the better looking guy. So the other story is a much more success story. But I've tried flirting in that capacity twice in my life. And I'm batting 500.
Does it work with women?
No.
No, okay.
No. Not at all. It only works if the woman's already in love with you, and then it's not really flirting. It's just like, do me a favor.
Yeah, I'm bad at it. I'm bad at it.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly pretty oblivious to whether, I've always been oblivious to whether or not someone is interested in me or not. So I don't even think about it. It's just kind of one of those things where it's like, I could just go my whole life. And like, if Nikki had never approached me, I never, ever would have been like, oh yeah, I think she might like me. No, she's just a girl. And that means that she's not interested in me.
Were you like me, like probably up until like my junior year of high school, like at any time, if anybody like, hey, Sarah likes you, I didn't even have to know who Sarah was. I'd be like, I like Sarah too.
Yeah.
I like Sarah too. No question, no hesitance. Like, oh man, yeah, no, Sarah really likes you. I really like Sarah. Thank you. Thank you. Will Sarah be my girlfriend?
You just start shaking hands down the hallway. Sarah likes me and I like her. Thank you. I'm Tyler. Yes. No, I'm totally like that. I was totally like that.
Do you know who Sarah is? Don't care. Don't care. Girl likes me. I'm on board.
Must be something right with her. That was a good intro. I think I can maybe spin my intro to match your story about who's the hottest in the room. What's up, internet? I am Dave, and I am your bespectacled host. Tyler, do you remember back when we recorded Hagane, The Final Conflict, I mentioned being super uncomfortable in a Walgreens wearing my running shorts, buying a gigantic bag of Swedish Fish. The girl at the register, she called for code 4, and I was pretty sure that that was code 4. A man is about to eat a big bag of Swedish Fish.
There's a sweaty man in short shorts, and he's buying an old candy mint for kids. He is up to no good.
I wish I could wear the short shorts. I feel like those would be more comfortable.
Like wearing 70s style NBA shorts.
They were bell bottoms, actually. So I asked on the show if anybody knew what a code 4 was, and I got an answer from the most unlikely of people, our very own guest host, our first guest host, Jacob York,
okay,
of Wolf Fighting fame, because he has a friend who worked at Walgreens. So he asked him. I don't know if we can use his name, but he is who you're thinking of. And
Okay, yeah.
So he asked him what code 4 was. And here's the answer. Code 40 is asking for change. It was not a code 40 that she called. He says there is no official code 4 at Walgreens. An unofficial code 4 is making people aware that there's a hot lady on the premises. I'm a hot lady, Tyler.
Was it a male or female cashier?
It was a female cashier.
Okay, there you go. That's pretty good. That's flirting. That's the female flirting with you. Okay,
If I'd only known then, I could have just divorced Nikki on the spot and then helped this girl through high school.
If she had told you, you'd be like, okay, well, here's my portfolio. Do you think you love me? Do you love me right now more than this other girl? Because I'll go with whichever the higher bid is. Yes.
Just look at her name tag. Hi, Mary. I like you a lot. Shake her hand. So I wanted to share that, and I wanted to thank you, Jacob, for lying to me, because I laughed out loud in my office when he sent me that message on Facebook. Hey girl, you want to hop in my 2001 Toyota Celica and eat some Swedish Fish?
Oh shit.
Also, I done goofed. I want to throw that out there.
Oh, okay.
I done goofed. As you recall, I'm sure, on Monday's episode, I said that originally they had the Brontosaurus with a human skull on it. I was wrong. because I was pretty sure that was not correct. But I want to clarify for everybody who's tuning in to Tadpog Podcast for the dinosaur facts. Phil has posted in chat that in 1903, this is in quotes, I don't know where he pulled this information, but in 1903, scientists at the Carnegie Museum realized that the bones used to reconstruct the Brontosaurus were actually a combination of remains from the species Apatosaurus, mixed with the head of a Camarasaurus.
The most human music. Of all dinosaurs, yes. The Camarasaurus.
I looked up on Wikipedia, Camarasaurus, just a human. It's just a dude from 1940.
Named after Kamara Smith. A famous human.
It's already a good episode. I don't even feel like we need to talk about Eek the Cat.
We don't have to talk about it much because there's not much to say about Eek the Cat.
I think it's going to bring it down, honestly.
Probably.
I mean, I hated this game. I fucking hated this game.
But well, before we do that, Dave, do you hear that?
I do hear that.
We have a code 40.
You need some change.
Oh,
you
have 40 for a code 4? Seriously? Code 4. Got a dime piece for this code 4.
Yeah, we got a roll of quarters.
I only have two rolls of quarters in my drawer right now for this code 4.
I got a roll of quarters for your drawer. Yeah, I do hear that. Of course, that ushers in a segment that we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Eek the Cat for the Super Nintendo does not have an entry on Wikipedia.
Makes sense.
Also does not have an entry on Game Facts. Hey, any aspiring Game Fact writers?
Alex, we know you listen.
There's a fact hole that you guys need to fill, and it's called Eek the Cat for SNES. This game is virtually non-existent in the regular internet watering holes.
Damn, all right.
I did a little digging.
Mm-hmm.
I did some investigative journalism. I'm on the fucking beat. I'm feeling a lot better today, by the way. I was feeling very sick on Monday, and I was not bringing my A game, so I'm trying very hard today. So here's the deal with Eek the Cat. The game is a Super Nintendo release of a different game called Sleepwalker. Tyler, have you heard of Sleepwalker?
No, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does put a new perspective on things. Sleepwalker was a game that was developed by CTA Developments and published by Ocean Softworks, the same companies that developed and published Eek the Cat.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind,
I'll
read from Sleepwalker. Sleepwalker, okay, guys. Sleepwalker is a platform game developed by CTA Developments and published by Ocean Software for the Amiga, Amiga CD32, C64, and Atari ST in 1993. Four systems that nobody had. It was later ported to DOS. Okay, there we go.
And left relegated to the dollar bin. And
I don't know how I didn't pick this one up as a kid. Sleepwalker was later re-released in 1994 using the Eek the Cat license for the Super Nintendo. So let me read the summary of the game, just because I feel like explaining what the game is is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And if we just go directly to Wikipedia to get that out of the way, I think that's going to help. So the names have been changed because...
Protect the innocent.
Protect Eek the Cat. Eek the Cat's sterling reputation. The game centers on a boy called Lee... And that's not the case in Eek the Cat, and his faithful dog, Ralph. Again, not the case in Eek the Cat. We're introduced to Lee from the dog's perspective. He wakes up. He finds the owner sleepwalking through his bedroom window. Ralph leaps after him, and the player then takes control of what happens next. Okay, so now it really starts to parallel Eek the Cat. Throughout the game, Lee will relentlessly walk in the direction he is facing.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, Tyler, that there are objects and pitfalls in his path that can ultimately wake him up, God forbid, excuse me, or even kill him. The player can monitor Lee's sleep level with a bar at the top of the screen. If the bar reaches zero, Lee wakes up and the player loses a life. I say not to wake someone up who's sleepwalking, and it's because they will kill you. If this happens 3 three times the game is lost. So in Sleepwalker, the player controls Ralph the dog in order to manipulate either Lee or the objects that he is likely to walk into. And his goal, Ralph the dog's goal, is to see Lee safely to the end of a level. The frequency of the pitfalls increase as the levels progress, and the players have to spend more and more time strategically neutralizing threats far in advance to Lee actually getting to those threats. So, okay, all of that I think is an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
I like that on paper a lot.
Like Josh and Communism.
Like,
yeah.
Josh and Communism, yes. Here's another really, what I think is an interesting fact about this game, Sleepwalker. On the Wikipedia entry, there's a subhead that says Comic Relief. This game was made to promote the charity Comic Relief. All profits from sales of the game went to the charity.
Huh.
That is interesting. I never fucking knew that a video game was made. Because I remember Comic Relief from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because they'd like run that on Comedy Central. Yeah. So never knew that there was a shitty game that.
So it's like, this old discarded bit of charity. Let's slap Eat the Cat on that and just watch it roll in.
Yeah. Instead of Lee the Dog, you're Eek the Cat, but it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Just rebrand it with Eek characters. Did you watch the cartoon?
So, apparently I did and completely forgot about it.
What? You mean your brain did like, I'm going to keep these terabytes for Eek the Cat?
No.
Forget your college algebra. No. Eek the Cat.
We're saving that for Eek the Cat. I when we first talked about Eek the Cat, I was like, man, I better watch an episode of Eek the Cat. And I did, and I was like... I kind of remember this. And then I was like, okay, well, of course I got a Wikipedia Eek the Cat. So I Wikipedia'd him. And then, like, they give a few synopses of episodes for the Eek the Cat. And there's one that in particular that I remember. I didn't actually rewatch the episode for the show, but they talk about an episode where the mom... And it's very reminiscent of Eek the Cat's Super Nintendo game because the mom is completely oblivious because she's constantly listening to translation tapes, like foreign language learning tapes. And there's an episode where she's doing all kinds of dangerous things unbeknownst to her because she's obsessed with the English language tapes. She's actually listening, I think, to the translation of English with Britain accent on it. So that's a.
Because I mean, joke. I remember I really liked this cartoon as a kid.
You did?
I did.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I went back and watched it.
You read my mind. I was going to ask.
I was like, oh man, this is like, God, this is so 1990s. It hurts.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it reminds me of like so much of the animation back then, which is just like, well, one, Eek the Cat as a character kind of bugs me because like Eek is a really good cat and he just wants to like help people and
great
he's
intentions.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And he just gets shit on constantly and it bugs me.
Well, that's the moral of the story. Mm. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to survive in this world, you need to be a Garfield or a Heathcliff.
Yeah.
Can't be an Eek. You gotta have a little bit of either an apathetic or a mean streak in you.
Yeah. Fair enough. And then, because the animation, it's like everything is a little gross. Like the people, the food, everything is just a little gross. Nothing's like bright and nice. It just has that Ren and Stimpy like degree of just kind of grossness to it. And
yeah, but not like hardcore into it like Ren and Stimpy was.
Right, right.
Like, I feel like Ren and Stimpy like embraced it.
It was their style.
Kind of flirted with it. Where it's like, we're not sure if this is what we want to do.
And I feel like I remember a lot of animation kind of just being like that. Like nothing ever looked appetizing. The people all just look shitty. And then like so much of the dialogue is screaming.
Yeah.
So much of it is just screaming and then these large, toothy screams, mouths, it's just like...
At least they're screaming from their mouths.
Yeah. But I watched it, it's like, fuck, how did I like this so much back then? Because, like, I mean, Eek's voice, like, I can tolerate annoying voices. I watch a lot of anime, but, like, Eek
the
Cat... And
we listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. But it's just, I mean, I see why Eek fit this game. You know, if you're gonna put it in, okay, Eek would do this, and like in that episode he did it. I guess maybe somebody had like some game developer's like kid was watching it in the background one day, and he's like, huh, okay, I can do something with that.
You know what really bugged me as a kid about Eek the Cat? He has a belly button.
Fuck, he does, doesn't he?
He has a belly button, and that drove me crazy as a kid.
You know who doesn't have a belly button?
Kyle
likes why.
I love it. We're just playing all the classics today on Tadpog. I could finally put a name to my disgust because something possessed me at work to type in what cartoon characters have belly buttons. And I got one of the first responses was tvtropes.org. I love tvtropes.org.
Oh, yeah.
Man, great site. Mm-hmm. They actually have a name.
It's too good, actually.
Yeah. You can really lose yourself, I feel like, on TV Tropes. They have a term for this, and it is called exposed animal belly button. And that is just a thing that is just a complete turnoff. For me, I was trying to think in my head, like, what other animal cartoon characters have a belly button showing, just flagrantly displaying their belly buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this would be a good Facebook game. I feel like how many cartoon animals can you name with an exposed belly button in the Facebook?
Are there
comments?
Any animals with belly buttons?
Okay, so I did a little research on belly buttons.
Okay, good.
So, usually, like, on mammals...
It devolved into, like, a marathon of I Dream of Jeannie. So, I didn't actually play this game, but I know a lot about I Dream of Jeannie.
So, mammals typically have a scar from where the umbilical cord was. Amphibians, reptiles, all those kinds of animals typically don't have belly buttons.
They have their egg scar.
They got their egg scar. That's right. I don't know about apes and monkeys. I didn't do research on apes and monkeys because, you know what? I don't really give a shit about them. All I really did was...
Be humans or get the fuck out.
All I really did was, hey, sometimes when I rub my cat's belly, I feel a scar where the belly button should be. And they're like, that's normal.
Okay.
So that's it. I mean, there are other animals in cartoons that have exposed belly buttons. I just couldn't think of them. Mm. I know they exist. And every time I see them, I'm like, ugh. Really?
Okay, let me put on my sarcastic hat.
Okay.
Here we go. Do you know what's brilliant about Eek the Cat, Dave? What Eek the Cat did that we finally, like, that our generation of gamers had just been craving for so long, because we only got it in just snippets and bits and pieces, and they were our favorite parts of video games. We just wanted a whole game comprised of this, and we didn't get one until Eek the Cat. And that's why it just satisfies just that big niche of people who just want a game that is entirely an escort quest.
Yeah.
You just cannot get enough. Yeah. Every game, you're like, God, I love escorting just bad AI everywhere. This is awesome. Why can't it just be a whole game? It is. It's Eek the Cat.
Hey, you know what else? You know how, like, where there's so many video games that are, like, so, like, bright and colorful and, like, just well animated?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't it be cool if we just had a counter to that? Like, can we just make possibly... I'm just spitballing here. How about a game that has, like, no contrast at all to it? Like, I'm thinking, like, really super muddy graphics where you have to sit 3 inches away from the television to be able to tell what the fuck is going on the screen.
Or a cat that looks like a cyclops from the side. So you just wonder what you're doing the whole time.
So we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
We've dipped into it.
It's, all right, it's a bad game.
Yep.
But it's because, I feel like it's because of the concept is bad.
Okay, all right. I'm glad you bring that up because I like the concept. I think the escort thing.
The idea, how it is put into practice.
Yeah.
Sucks.
The execution is bad. Yeah. And I think the execution is bad because the controls aren't great. And by that, I don't mean that they're sloppy, you're sliding around everywhere. It's just that they're overly complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Eek the Cat can do a few things. He can jump to avoid obstacles. He can stand in the way of whoever he's escorting to block them mm-hmm. from running into a scorpion or whatever the fuck, an elephant shooting water at them. I don't know.
A monkey on a swing.
So, yeah, you name it. Any kind of
lasers.
Like, anything you could find in like a Dave Matthews Band lyric, you have to avoid. And so you can block them. You can pivot. You can grab them and pivot around. Mm-hmm. So you can change the direction that way. And then the worst fucking mechanic in the entire
jumping
fucking game is kicking them to make them
jump and do stuff. Yeah.
It is the worst fucking thing. And you have to, that's the thing that you use 95% of the game.
And you shouldn't, in this kind of game, that shouldn't be a thing you can do. It should be like putting stuff in their way to make them walk or like making them jump and move. It's stupid.
It's third party jumping. Is essentially, it's just like an extension. I hate it, and I hate the. Here's what I hate the most about it is. Remember when we talked about Hook, where we were talking about how some things had to be like super precise, and Hagane as well. Things had to be super precise. I felt the same way about Eek the Cat. Is like all these when you had to kick your ward, you had to nail it. Like there are certain quote unquote jumps that you have to make. That you have to make perfectly. Mm-hmm. And if you fail it, usually the levels are kind of stacked. It's like, you know, just horizontal stacks of shit that you have to avoid. So the idea is when the level inclines a little bit, go ahead and kick Granny up to the next level.
Yeah.
And what happens is if you fuck up a jump, Granny falls. And sometimes she will fall like down to the very beginning of the level. And it is infuriating. Tyler, I think that you can vouch for me when I say that I have a very high...
Oh, an incredibly high...
patience threshold for
redoing
bullshit
shit
in games.
Yeah, yeah. The highest I have ever seen.
Dude, I almost fucking rage quit this game. I didn't finish this game.
Oh, no. No one has.
But here,
it's hacked when you see it on YouTube.
Here's what I did. I was playing it and I was like, oh, this is fucking awful. Here's my goal. Get to level two. If I can get to level two, I can quit playing this game and just watch the rest on YouTube.
Saw a 54-minute hard run of Eek the Cat where a guy who's doing like just fucking perfectly... I was like, how much fucking time did your parents get you one game when you were little? It's like, this is it.
He was built in a lab to play Eek the Cat.
Did his Piggly Wiggly instead of Adam's Family had Eek the Cat?
Just Rose and
Eek
the Cat.
I get it, yeah. Super Mario World and Eek the Cat, that's all you have. Okay, I get
this
it.
This is a thought experiment. we're going to feed this kid a bunch of LSD and only give him Eek the Cat.
Because you brought up Hook, I thought about this today because I forgot about it. It's a weird little aside. I should have brought up on Hook. But in the...
I have a Hook hand. You may not have noticed over the years.
Gay guys don't particularly like it. But in the like the dark cave level where you fight the pirate, there is like a frog who will like belch out this projectile at you that looks somewhat like Saturn. It's like a pink ball with like a green sort of Saturn ring around it. It kind of moves. Now remember,
that
like,
is a fetus.
I remember seeing that, and for some reason, my little kid brain. The next time, like I remember, like I pulled a muscle or like had some kind of like pain in my back. My weird kid brain associated like that thing that I saw.
Yeah,
I don't know. For some reason, I called that a pain particle, and anything that hurt in my back or things like that. I would imagine it was that thing in my back, and then like I was pressing down on it and trying to like get it out of there. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I've never told anybody ever before.
Really?
In my life.
Like not even your parents or anything?
Nope.
Like you never woke up and you're like, pain particles.
Man, pain particle from Hook is in my back. Nope. Just weird kid thing that you put two and two together.
Yeah. I used to always share that information with my parents, so I hear about it whenever we have gatherings. They're like, remember that summer where you couldn't stop making frog noises? there was a full fucking like summer where it's just like, I had this nervous tic, man, where it was just like, I mean, it was just like every fucking like... I mean, it was nonstop. Like every 20 seconds, I'd just be like,
well, that's why your favorite Mario Brothers character, Toad.
That's right.
Yeah.
God bless my mom. I don't know how she didn't fucking drown me and make up a really good story.
Good thing
story.
You're a boy.
Yeah. Good thing you're not a real frog.
If we were in China and you were a different gender, in the river.
Eek the cat.
Oh, God. And there are some of those jumps where you have to like time it and get up to that next, like on like a trampoline, jump them up to another level, follow them, kick them off again so they're facing the other direction, and then bounce them up like that. Yeah. It's
kind of the worst. Yeah. It's kind of worse than the Holocaust.
kind of, you're right.
I mean, in a way.
In a way. A person in an entirely different time period being non-Jewish in a different part of the world, it is almost as bad as the Holocaust.
We're going to give you two options.
For being as far removed as we can be from the Holocaust, it is almost as bad.
It's almost as bad.
Because, I mean, a lot of things, like the way, like, other than the jump, the way Eat controls is fine.
Yeah.
The music is fine.
I actually love the music.
It's got, like,
which is really weird.
Because Eek has that weird, I mean, it has rock music, like heavy metal music in the theme of Eek the Cat.
Right.
So like they can incorporate that in. So like there are a lot of elements in it that by themselves aren't terrible, but like the mechanics that matter, it's just not fun.
No, the mechanics are awful. The mechanics that you're forced to use are extremely frustrating.
So, I mean, I'm not going to say like, I mean, while I did not like this game at all, like, I think it's still better than Cool World because, I mean, it functions. It's not like, and you know what you're supposed to do. It's just frustrating. It just sucks. It's a chore as opposed to just this complex, non-functioning mess.
Yeah. I also think this game is better than Cool World, but I want to throw this out there. I did ask myself, is this game worse than Cool World?
Mm.
Like, that's how much I hated this game.
What about versus Bebe's Kids?
I think Bebe's Kids might actually be a better game.
I think it's close.
This is tough, man, because it's like, it gets into that realm where, like, if you were to ask me which one I'd rather play, Bebe's Kids or Eek the Cat, I would say Bebe's Kids.
Yeah.
But I do, objectively, I think Eek the Cat is a better made game.
Yeah, it's just the concept of the game is just not fun.
It's just frustrating to play.
Yeah.
As much as I love the music, I don't think it fit the game.
The Sleepwalker and the heavy metal music.
Well, and it's always, it's like very, it's kind of weird because it's like retro futuristic almost, where it's like.
Get the alien levels and stuff like that. Where you had this.
And it's like, well, in the 90s, this is how we imagine music will be in 2015. And it's not, but it made, like when I was playing it, I was like, did they just like throw in some, like Shadowrun, like extras in this? Because like the music sounds like Shadowrun music to me. And I was like, man, this could be like a real good Shadowrun tabletop.
You see Jake Armitage behind the grandma, like firing his, sitting still, perfectly still, and firing his gun, making your move in different directions.
Tyler?
Yes, Dave.
Are you related to Savage Steve Holland?
I thought the same thing when I watched that intro.
Is there like, any relation?
Yeah.
The creator of Eek the Cat? Are you Ken, creator of Eek the Cat?
Well, my dad is Savage Steve, and I'm Saberto, his son.
Saberto? Savage Saberto.
Yeah, because, God, when I was 9, people wouldn't quit calling me Sabretooth. They just wouldn't quit. I mean, was like, let's shorten that, please. Let's keep it informal. Fine, Saberto.
Come on, Steve. Lay off, dude. Saberto.
Savage, get your Saberto son under control.
Do you know where he got his start?
Wrestling.
That's a good answer. By the way, I tried to figure out if Savage was his actual like first name.
Because Savage, I had to think of like the wrestler.
Yeah.
Or the Steve. Dragon.
Steve the Dragon.
Wrestling Steve or Steve Dragon. You know, Steve Dragon with his enormous upper body and tiny legs.
I didn't know you knew about Savage Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Check you out. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
He is actually most famous, not Savage Dragon, but Savage Steve Holland. He designed and animated the whammies on Press Your Luck. He created my favorite fucking thing in game shows ever. The whammies.
Pretty good. It's pretty good. That reminds me of, it's Moonbeam City on Hulu. That's Rob Lowe's. It's kind of a take on Archer, but it's like very heavily 80s.
I've seen the previews. It looked good.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
At first, I didn't. And then, like, there's one episode that completely flipped me around on it. And I was like, okay, I really like this show. And it reminds me of that because Rob Lowe's character, Dazzle, because everyone has the very 80s Dazzle, Chrysalis, Rad.
Yeah, and like all the art looks like Depeche Mode, like kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The primary resource of the city is lasers.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it looks good.
It is, and it's wonderfully voice acted.
I love really Rob Lowe.
Yeah. And Elizabeth Banks and.
I didn't know she voiced the character.
Will Forte.
Awesome.
It's good. But there's one where he becomes obsessed with this artist, and the artist's call to fame is he put all the strike animations in bowling. So whenever you like get the turkey,
yeah.
So people are like have like a Comic-Con style thing for all this guy's new bowling sketches, and they're like deep philosophical art. I was like, all right, this is good now. I'm on board with this show.
Awesome. Yeah, I need to check it out.
I think that's when I sent you a message about it after I saw that episode, because I was like, Dave will appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do I have anything else about Eek the Cat?
It's more of a puzzle game, I think, than a platformer.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, I like bosses. I like levels to like not just like seamlessly flow from one into the other without any real like.
Yeah.
And it does. It's just. The backgrounds change, but it's all just one essentially long slog.
And the levels are huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they are huge. When I said earlier that my goal was to get to the second level, like each level I think has like three or four stages, and those stages are very long.
They're big. So it's just like, I know eventually like you go from, you have the old woman to your very obese pink girlfriend cat.
Annabelle is your second escort. You escort her through a UFO.
Yeah, that. And there's.
That's where I gave up.
A dog, a cop, and finally a present on legs.
You forgot about the headless chicken.
The headless chicken. Because I was like, when I saw that, I was like, that looks vaguely familiar. Is that Eek canon? I can't remember.
I couldn't either. I can tell you, I don't know if I mentioned this already or not, but all of the levels share the name of an Eek the Cat episode.
Yep.
The one that I remember clearly is Bears in the Hood. Bears in the Hood. So, yeah. Bears in the Hood.
Because I think finally the end game, your goal is to bounce the present into the window of an orphanage.
Yeah, and then you get the worst ending ever.
Yeah.
It's the worst ending of a video game. It's worse than in Jurassic Park where the helicopter just flies backwards. They just reverse the intro of the game. It's worse than that.
Oh. Do you have any achievements?
I have one achievement.
Okay.
I have one achievement, Tyler, and it is called, one moment. I threaten to move to Canada if Donald Trump is elected, but this game revolves around the rich Canadian tradition of Eek the Cat, so I guess I'm staying here. In order to unlock, I threaten to move to Canada if Donald Trump is elected, but this game revolves around the rich Canadian tradition of Eek the Cat, so I guess I'm staying here. Just try to play the game. Just try to play it. Just see if you can last 5 minutes playing the game. Because the first 5 minutes, you'll spend going, what? What is this? What? I can't.
Where am I?
I can't see anything. I can't. What? Am I this old lady? I don't understand. What is going on?
Am I building a wall? What's going on?
Do you have any achievements?
Mine's pretty similar.
Okay.
Fuck them orphans. Fuck them orphans by quitting the game.
Fuck those orphans up.
you duct tape them down. Yeah. Do you want to do Beards and Glasses right now?
Or Tyler.
Okay. Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun talking about Eek the Cat. Amazingly, I did. Before we go on to other things, before we close this out.
Because we both did something out of fear.
We did a thing. Yeah. You'll find out later, listener. Don't worry. But before we get to those things, I have some important questions for you. The first of which is, if you were to give this game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of beard would you give it?
There is an episode of the Tom Green Show where Thomas, that's where he goes in, like he's sucking on the udder of a cow in like a store.
Yeah, I remember that.
And there's one point he goes out to the woods and he finds a dead cat. And he thinks he's going to do a good goof with this dead cat.
Yeah.
So he goes over and when he grabs the cat's tail to pick it up, everything comes off of the cat's tail onto his hand. And that's the point where Tom has too much.
Yeah.
Well, this game
that's the worst, by the
where
way.
Tom grabs that cat's tail and it comes off and then his face itches and he puts the cat beard on his face.
Oh, my God. That's the worst thing ever. I think that you
there
said.
You go. That's the beard.
Worst beard. Worst beard. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses would it be? Is it Tom Green, like, making binoculars over his eyes?
It's Mr. Magoo's glasses.
Ah, a doddering old man.
Mm-hmm. Which, the thing about Mr. Magoo's, he never has them. They're always misplaced, so he's like the sleepwalker bumbling around in different situations.
This would have made more sense as a Mr. Magoo game.
If it was Mr. Magoo and you had your mouse and you were just like moving shit to like try and make paths for him, that would have been an okay way to do this game.
Oh, the person you're trying to get safely to the end of the level is constantly moving. We probably should have mentioned that.
That's true.
You can't. I mean, the only way to stop them is by standing in front of them.
Stand in front of them and push them,
All right, there we go. Now I feel like we've done our job.
Okay, that's eat the cat. So, because I know I did.
Well, Tyler.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I do have one more question for you. I'm curious how much this game is on Amazon.
I didn't even think about that. It's like people, this did actually make production.
Yeah, this isn't California Raisins where they were like, oh, God, we cannot release this. Someone gave the green light. They're actually remaking this on Steam. Did you know that?
No.
That's a lie.
Okay. I mean, call it something different. Call it, I mean, they could just slap Adventure Time on this and just probably get away with it.
You're so right that it hurts. You're so right. How much do you think this game is used on Amazon?
$60. Because I'm going to assume not a lot were made and not a lot were sold.
Yeah, I couldn't find numbers. I looked for production numbers just out of curiosity because this is a game I never heard of. I couldn't find that information, but I did find a copy of this on Amazon. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Actual retail value of Eek the Cat for the Super Nintendo used on Amazon at the time of this recording is $11.89.
All right, wow.
Much more reasonably priced than I would have expected.
Yeah,
still
much.
Way overpriced. This is a 50 cent with free shipping game, I think.
Oh. All right, so what we both did, because we sat down immediately, you told me.
Yeah, I wanted to let you know. let's save some time at the end. Mm-hmm. Because I have a feeling we're not going to be able to talk about Eek the Cat for very long because it's just a concept. That's just really it. It's not really a game. It's just an idea.
We just shout into a barrel and then that's it.
So I did a quiz. I made a quiz because we hadn't done a quiz in a long time.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
So I made a quiz for you.
So we haven't revealed to one another what our quizzes are, but I have a feeling they're probably the same fucking thing.
Okay.
Tyler, what is your quiz?
My quiz is a 90s quiz.
Oh, good. We have different quizzes. My quiz is a cartoon cat quiz.
Because I wasn't sure if I'd done that before.
Because
I thought about that and I was like, did I do that? I better not do that in case I did that.
I thought about it too and I was like, did Tyler do that? And I was like, well, I don't fucking remember. So it must not have been that good. I'm doing one myself.
So I remember having to look up a lot of Heathcliff information. That's the only reason I think about that.
And that was just for the Spank Bank.
The Spank. who you want to go first, me or you?
I want you to go first.
All right.
I want to hear the 90s quiz.
All right.
How many questions are we dealing with?
10 questions, but then I have a few rapid-fire bonuses
included
in
there. Okay, all right. Sweet, sweet, sweet.
All right. So it's 10 questions. It encompasses different parts of the 1990s.
Okay. The 1990s. I'm glad that you specified.
1790s.
Good, 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 good.
French literature. This is the top grossing movie of the 90s.
Titanic.
Titanic is correct. So for your bonus lightning round.
Oh, okay.
How many of the top 10 highest grossing movies of the 90s can you name?
Top 10 highest grossing movies of the 90s? Mm-hmm. Do the Star Wars re-releases count?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to say those. I'm going to say all three of those.
Episode 1 is on there.
Okay.
Episode 1 is number 2 behind Titanic. The other two are not on the list.
Because they were 2000. When I meant the, like, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Jedi re-releases.
Oh.
No. But I was going to guess Phantom Menace. Yeah. Don't you worry. I certainly was. So Titanic, Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. All the Lord of the Rings came out in the 2000s.
Yep.
Jaws was clearly 80s.
One of your favorite movies.
One of my favorite movies?
You and your mother bonded over it.
Free Willy?
That nearly tore you apart.
What did we bond over? My mom and I. What did we go see together? Oh, Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, Jurassic Park, number 3. Of course. How did I not think of Jurassic Park? What else we got?
My parents forbid me from seeing it.
Foreboded.
We walked out of it.
Out of this movie?
Out of one of these
number
movies.
Number 4. You walked out of... Oh, shit. What was that? Was that in the 90s?
Love Actually was not in the 90s. We walked out of two movies, Love Actually and this.
Team America?
Ryan walked out.
Okay. Because I was like, that wasn't 90s. What was the... Okay, so what else did you walk
Forrest
out of?
Gump.
Forrest Gump, that's right. Mm-hmm. What else you got? Because I'm fresh out of juice.
Lion King, Independence Day, Sixth Sense, Independence Day. Home Alone, Men in Black, and Toy Story 2.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't have gotten any of those. Toy Story 2 I should have though.
What record company had both Biggie and Mace? Brandon had a lot of these shirts.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I knew Brandon when he was wearing these shirts. Dog Pound? Is that a thing?
It's sort of close.
That's not right. I fucked it up. What is it?
Bad Boy.
Oh, Bad Boy. Okay. Yeah, I failed that one.
What band had a hit with the 94 song Feel the Pain?
I don't know. Feel the Pain?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was probably Bone Thug and Harmony.
I only know this because I've heard you mention their name maybe like once in passing.
Well, shit, now you're painting me as a guy who does not know the things that he talks about. I have no idea. Feel the Pain? Can you... What else? What else you got? Can you help me out? Got any hints on that notepad?
You like what they're named after a whole lot.
Deep Throat.
Yep. Dinosaur Jr.
Oh, Dinosaur Jr. Okay. Yeah. That I... did not know that. I'm not even gonna say I should know that, but there are definitely listeners who are probably upset with me right now for not knowing that.
I don't even really know who that group is. I just remember, like, I've heard Dave say that before. I'll write that down.
It's fair. I'm sorry I let you down.
This 90s toy was targeted to girls. It was a personal organizer that featured a calendar, birthday reminders, a class schedule, clock, phone number organizer, diary, and a daily fortune.
This is a toy?
Mm-hmm.
That did all these things?
Mm-hmm. A few girls on the bus with had these.
It sounds like a PDA or something.
It's a really shitty version of one.
No, I don't know what this is.
The pocket locker.
The pocket locker?
Mm-hmm.
I bet there's a good commercial for that online.
Probably. Who was the host of Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Legends of the Hidden Temple. Was that Donnie Jeffcoat?
Nope.
Who was the host of Legends of the Hidden Temple?
He was another extremely Magoo white guy with a bad haircut.
I don't know. I'm going to hate myself when you say it.
Kirk Fogg.
Oh, no, I don't.
So here's your rapid fire challenge for that one. Name some of the teams.
God, you are going to get me. So, like, people are going to message me.
Can
we cut this?
There are two of them. I was like... Those aren't in there. Those aren't one. No, they're ones. Okay, they just must have never won.
Okay, so there's the... What were
they? There are six.
There's six. Okay, so there's the monkeys. I can't remember the color for the monkeys. There's the silver barracudas. Is that right? Blue barracudas?
Silver is one and barracudas is one. But you have mixed them up.
All right, so let's see. So I don't know two, and then the rest I just completely don't know. So, all right. So I know monkeys. I know there's barracudas. There are, red. I know there's red. I know there's green. No. Green iguanas?
Iguanas is one.
Not the right
color. But
it's
not the monkey.
It's not the monkeys.
It's not the green ones. Iguanas is not monkeys, Dave. Iguanas is not monkeys.
I wish we could end the episode that. All right, so iguanas, barracudas, monkeys, and I know some colors.
You said snakes.
I didn't, but thank you. Snakes.
Oh, you said silver. All right, silver snakes is one of them.
Silver snakes, okay. Mm-hmm. I know blue is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Blue monkeys?
The blue barracudas.
The blue barracuda. Didn't I say blue barracudas?
You said no? You said barracudas.
Oh, and then you fuck
said,
that
And
noise.
Then you said, I don't know what color they are, though.
Oh, fine. What color would iguana? I think iguanas would be green.
Yeah, you'd think that. You'd think the colors for the monkeys and the iguanas would probably be the reverse, but they don't make any sense.
Brown iguanas? Green monkeys?
Green monkeys is correct.
All right.
It's orange iguanas.
Orange iguanas.
That one I didn't remember at all.
No.
So it's the red jaguars.
The red jaguars? I don't remember that at all.
Blue barracudas, green monkeys, orange iguanas, purple parrots, and silver snakes.
Yeah, I don't remember the parrots at all either. Okay. Man, whew. I'm letting a lot of people down today. You're still going to make a small donation to the charity of my choice, though, right?
You are my fire, my one desire, was the opening line from this Backstreet Boys song.
Okay, I might be confusing this with the Burger King slogan.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, is it
Brian the Burger King? The other guy with the red hair with his bangs combed down to his eyebrows. I'm pretty sure he's the Burger King.
Is it? It can't be this. It can't be.
Come on.
I want it my way?
Want it that way.
That way? Do you think they're like, Burger King might sue us if we go, I want it my way?
Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life was what type of animal?
He was a wallaby.
Correct.
Yeah, that one I knew. Thank God.
So this one is going to be, this one is hard.
Rapid fire marsupial quiz.
It also has a, I guess, all right. So name two, either real or nickname, members of TLC.
Okay, Left Eye.
Uh-huh, correct. That's one.
That's all I know.
That's if I had been asked that question, that's exactly what I would have said. So they are Tiani, T-Bone Watkins, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, and Razanka Chili Thomas.
Do you know who?
Until I wrote this down, then I was
Didn't know those were names.
It's TLC, T-Bone Very Left Eye and Chili. Okay.
You know who would have been able to answer that very quickly?
Nikki?
Yeah, absolutely. She would have been able to answer that. She's mad at me right now.
Bop It, Twist It.
Yeah. Bob it, twist it. Yes, you're looking at me.
Finish that slogan.
Crank it, jerk it.
Close. Bop it, twist it.
Crank it, jerk it.
Pull it.
Pull it.
Pull it.
Pull it, jerk it.
cradle its balls.
I never had a bop it.
Neither did I.
What was the skipping toy? Do you remember that? Where you put
like,
that fucker
like
around
skip
your ankle
it or something like that? Yeah, I almost put a question in here about that.
Not skip it.
Let's see. And the last one. This was the Smash toy of 1996. Its short supply led scalpers to sell it for upwards of $1,500.
Tickle Me Elmo?
Tickle Me Elmo is correct.
All right, I didn't do so well. I didn't do so hot.
It's a hard quiz. It's all right.
You craft a good quiz. That was dwarven quality.
You were pretty young in the 90s. It's okay.
I was pretty old in the 90s. I mean, 40.
Nicole was one. It's fine. Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me. Tyler?
Yes, Dave?
I have a quiz for you.
Yeah.
I've entitled this quiz creatively Cartoon Cat Quiz.
Cat Quiz!
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let us begin. This pink, skinny, elegant cat has a gap between her
Arlene.
Two front teeth. That's correct. Arlene. a master of Aikido and guardian of the path to heaven.
A master of Aikido and guardian of the path to heaven.
Of the path to heaven.
A Kamaru.
No.
I don't know.
This is an anime. This is Dragon Ball.
Oh, Pakun?
Master...
I can picture him in my head.
Master Korin?
Korin. Okay, there you go. He's the one who grows senzu beans.
All right, that one was a tough one for me because I've never seen it, but I was like, I'm going to throw a gimme in there for Tyler.
He's in Dragon Ball Z. I haven't seen Dragon Ball. He's in Dragon Ball Z a little.
Okay. Number three, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat uptight and believes strongly in being polite and neat. He is attached to his twin brother.
Uptight, neat, attached to his twin brother. The Siamese cats from Aristocats. I don't know.
His twin brother is dog.
Oh, cat dog. Okay.
Cat.
Cat. Yeah. I should have just been like, that's a, but I don't know. I'm just going to say cat.
Number four. He's based on a fairy tale character and voiced by Antonio Banderas.
Oh, Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots is correct. Tyler, a mute and shy black and white cat, often chased, being mistaken for a skunk because of a white stripe of paint gets across her back.
Oh, the name of the one Pepe Le Pew is always after.
Maybe. Maybe that's what we're looking for.
I don't know her name.
I didn't either. This is a hard one. Penelope. Her full name, Tyler, Penelope Pussycat, a.k.a. victim.
A.k.a. rape victim. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, not a good scene. All right, number six. A cute, funny, black and white cat created in the silent film era. In later decades, he has a magic bag of tricks.
Felix.
Felix the cat is correct. Number seven, Tyler. A ginger house cat with a blue collar on his neck. He frequently bullies the two mice, Pixie and Dixie.
A ginger cat, blue collar, two mice.
He bullies two mice named Pixie and Dixie.
Whew. I don't know. I feel like I should, but I don't.
His common catchphrase is, I hate Mises to pieces.
This is a Hanna-Barbera character, isn't it? Yeah, I wasn't a big Hanna-Barbera guy. I don't know.
Okay. It's Mr. Jinx.
Okay.
Number eight, Tyler. This is a good one. You're going to get this one. I can feel it. A pixelated cat with the body of a Pop-Tart flying through space and leaving a rainbow trail behind it.
Nyan cat?
That is correct. Yeah. Number nine, the main enemy of Mickey Mouse. He's the oldest character in the Disney community.
It's like Oliver?
Oliver Stone?
Oliver Stone, the enemy of Mickey Mouse. And I know him from Epic Mickey, but I cannot think of his name.
Would you like a hint?
Yes.
He's in Goof Troop.
Pete?
Peg Leg Pete.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of a different character entirely. Okay. I was trying to think of like the one, he has like one ear or something like that he was supposed to be the main Disney guy, and then like they threw him out last minute and added Mickey in. So like he's the villain in Epic Mickey because he's trying to get revenge on Mickey. I was like, is that a cat? Okay, well, I guess it could be. But yeah, you're right. Pete's a cat. I should have thought of that.
Is that cat's ear like a magic item in the game? Because it should be.
He looks almost like a black and white version of a black and white one-eared version of like Mickey Mouse plus one of the rabbit things that Marge was supposed to be in The Simpsons.
Oh, okay. One of the...
It's weird looking.
The hell rabbits or whatever.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
The feline co-star of a Tom and Jerry parody, which exists as a show within The Simpsons. Funny you should bring up Marge.
Itchy. I don't know if it's Itchy or Scratchy.
Ooh.
Scratchy, I guess, has claws, so Scratchy.
Scratchy, final answer?
Yeah.
Scratchy.
Okay.
You got it. There you go. That's it. All 10, you did fairly well. Mm. You got almost all of these.
All right.
You did good. I hope you feel good about yourself.
My Hanna-Barbera game is fucking weak.
You know
fucking
what?
Fucking weak.
That was one that I don't think I could have gotten. I would have been like racking my brain because I watched a lot of those cartoons when I was a kid because they would show them on USA. Like I think it was the only thing they were allowed to show on USA during the daytime.
You know, you had like the subway train and then like cartoons were coming out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then 10 o'clock hit and it was just Gilbert Gottfried.
But now characters are welcome. It's totally different.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Are we good on time?
Yeah. I think once we do outros, we'll be about hit time. So that's pretty. We synced up pretty well.
You look like you're getting sleepy. Looks like those meds are kicking in.
I'm actually okay right now.
You're good. Okay. Yeah.
So we could probably take one call if you want to take a call.
I want to save them.
Okay.
You know, I'm kind of nervous about not having enough calls for an all-call show.
So thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. So don't miss the next episode. It's going to be a week of Garfield, man.
A week of Garfield.
And we've got, supposedly Phil Hawkins is going to come in.
Yeah, so if he doesn't.
When he made a comment about, no, you're not getting my 50 cents that easily. Fine, you're on the next episode.
I'm actually making a list of games that I think would be perfect to have Phil on for.
Okay.
Lethal Weapon is on there.
And we're doing them all consecutively. We need to find the Venn diagram of Phil and Chandra so we can make $1.25 an episode.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be the new John Turley of Dad Pog.
We still really would like it. Helps us out a lot. We're at 130, which is amazing, but
iTunes reviews?
Embodiment agreed. We need more iTunes reviews. Yeah. So please go to, find us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Steal someone's phone if you have to, or borrow. Go up to a stranger and say, oh, I really need to call home. Can I borrow your phone?
Yeah.
And then take their phone and give us a 5-star iTunes.
And then put it in one of the giant machines in Walmart where they give you money for putting the phone in.
Did Shake tell you about that too? Because I had never seen that before.
No, he was telling me this and I was like, are you serious? There's a machine in Walmart
that machine,
you just put a phone in and money dispenses?
Yeah, there's a machine to get iPods, iPads, tablets. You just pull open like a... looks like a mailbox type drawer and you put in a device and it gives you money for it. And it's like, is this just for thievery? Is this
clearly. It's called the thievery box.
It's ridiculous that that is a thing. And it even says there's like a small silver stickle. A small silver stickle.
Maybe
that meta is kicking in. Yeah, I know,
it definitely is.
That says that it'll prosecute stolen devices. It's like, fuck you, no you won't. I bet that webcam that is behind glass is just a shell and you're not doing shit. You're just taking shit in and reselling it, but whatever. Yeah. But please go to iTunes, give us a subscribe.
Yeah.
Give us a 5-star review, and if it's written, even better.
Yeah.
So, and if you leave us a written one, if there's a game you want us to play, a guest host you want for an episode, whatever that is, whatever you put in there, we promise we will get to that.
Eventually. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about Garfield, more than likely, with Sandwich Pope Phil. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. You can find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people on there doing a lot of cool shit. If you can think of a cartoon animal with an exposed belly button, that's where I want to hear it. Tyler, he'll make an episode post, and that's where I need to hear it, is right in those comments. What animals have belly buttons? In cartoons, I need to know.
In cartoons. Don't give us that nature shit.
Yeah, I ain't getting all this.
In cartoons. No, stuff that applies to our life.
No Nat Geo, GTFO. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Hey, thank you to all of you who are retweeting us, especially our episode announcements. I am not as active on there as I should be, so you guys are doing all the heavy lifting there, so I really do appreciate it. You can call us if you want. Actually, last episode, I think I asked you to call and then did not give you the phone number, like I'm some kind of rude dick who doesn't know the teams to Legends of the Hidden Temple.
I wonder if there's a rude dog game.
Oh, boy. You're on it right now, right?
I'm going to pull up our where you can find Nicole's box.
Okay. If you want to call us, you can call us at 270-883-2555, and we'll play you probably on our next all-call show.
Yeah.
Lastly, for me, my last little thing is we do have a Patreon. If you enjoyed this episode, which I hope that you did, I know that, man, I botched that quiz, but I did try to bring my A game in other categories of this show.
Like dick girth.
That dick girth. I got so many girths, y'all.
It looks like we did pick back up another patron. I'm not sure who, but it looks like somebody heard the call.
I have a list of people to thank.
Yeah.
Who I've been meaning to thank for like the last 2 weeks. If you would like to be one of these lovely people who support us, you can do so at patreon.com/tadpog. Thank you very, very, very much to everybody who donates on there. It really does help. Lets us pay some bills. I'm not sure where we fall on SoundCloud right now. Tyler, if you want to do SoundCloud, I need to pay that bill this month.
So, okay.
We'll need to figure that out pretty quick. I want to thank specifically former / reclaimed Master of Coin, Ryan Walters, who upped his donation significantly. Thank you very much, Ryan. I want to thank Michael H. for a new pledge. I want to thank John Harvey for a new pledge. I want to thank Sandwich Pope Phil Hawkins keeping his word and upping his donation. And I also cannot remember if I thank Paul Clark yet or not. Paul Clark for a new pledge. If I've already thanked you, there you go, Paul.
You thank Michael H. There's twice. Also Michael H.
I did thank Michael H.
He also left us the latest 5-star iTunes review.
Oh, awesome.
Requesting for Patreon that we do a Sailor Moon game for the SNES.
Okay. All right. I almost included Artemis on my cartoon cat quiz. So
I would have gotten perfect. That wrong, but I would have appreciated it. And Chandra would have been screaming, Artemis! So
I thought about Chandra when I was putting that quiz together. And here's why I wimped out. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to put a Sailor Moon one in there. And I was like, oh, God, if I'm wrong, like if the answer is wrong or something, or if something's worded incorrectly, Chandra's going to be all up on my ass about that.
So when we do that, Chandra, I want that 75 cents. So whenever we do that, you should drive up and do it with us.
Yeah,
absolutely. Spend more money on gas to get here so that you can then give us more money every month.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll buy a pizza or something.
Yeah, there we go.
We'll get you back.
I gave her crawfish at Toufate last time. We'll buy her pizza. It's fine.
Yeah.
It'll work out. I know that Phil has sent, because we'll get them Saturday, so then we'll have them to taste test with him on the show on Sunday.
We're going
to
spoil it? We're going to keep it a secret?
We can keep thinking about what he sent us.
But he sent us something we're going to eat.
He sent us something we're going to eat. Yeah. So there, come Saturday, it will just be Nicole's box will be crammed full of this delicacy that we will have to eat.
Come Saturday,
we will eat this out of Nicole's box.
The proper noun. Come Saturday, where we eat things out of Nicole's box.
So, so if there's anything you want us for us to try, games you want us to play, games you send through, you cram in Nicole's box, get priority, because she's got to get those out of there.
Yeah.
So those get priority.
Can't leave them in too long.
So please, if there's something you want to send us, send it to Tadpog Studios, care of Nicole Nance, P.O. Box 3785, Paducah, Kentucky, 42002.
Nicole, I'm sorry I said that thing. I'm usually laid back. Tyler leans heavy on the box jokes. I kind of just sit back. And,
she's been listening more, so there's a 60% chance she won't hear it. She'll probably like Eat the Cat. Like unless she, for some reason, she watched Eat the Cat, she's going to glaze over this one.
I like the way you said that. It made it sound like Eat the Cat was a euphemism. You're like, she'll probably Eat the Cat. I don't know what that means.
I know she didn't have like a room per se in the house she grew up in. She just had curtains, like so. It was probably pretty hard to eat the cat at home. But if she ever, instead of schlicking the lily, that should be our new thing.
Eat masturbation. The cat. No, I love that. I love that. Please don't let me forget that.
That's the noise that it makes when you flick it in the head enough. Girl, I'm gonna make that cat eat. So our theme song is Moves by Sycamore Drive.
That's right.
A track to that. Link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
That's right.
How do you like to close this out?
I like to close it out like the whammies from Press Your Luck.
Okay. So until next time,
something blows up. Something always blows
That's
up.
That's good.
I have a quiz if you're worried for time.
I have a quiz too because I was worried for time. Perfect.
Cool. I hope it's the same quiz. I bet it is.